Morgantown AM, winner of the 2011 West Virginia Best Talk Show Award.
My lawyer will hear about this.
This is Morgantown AM, the talk of the town. We're the ones talking about the hot topics and issues that affect our lives in West Virginia. Refill your cup and settle in. It's time to talk with Kay Murray and Jim Stallings on 1440 WAJR.
Cameras are off. We can go back to being ourselves again.
Yes.
With our faces for radio. Yes, the Health Talk program is videotaped for their website, and all of our previous episodes are on there. So
that's a warning.
We're a little self-conscious about the way we look on camera because we got into radio for a reason. You can hear us, but you can't see us. So this is Morgantown AM, the talk of the town on WAJR, and it's our DOH show. But first, ladies and gentlemen. We have a young man in the studio. He is a veteran. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. And, baby, he was born to run. It seems that way anyway. Jamie Sutherland is in the studio with us today. Jamie is going to run across the country.
And we're going to tie this in because he's going to be using some of the roads across the country.
Yeah, so we put him together in here with our DOH guest. So if there's any problems whatsoever on the cross-country route going through West Virginia with our roads, he'll be able to ask and talk to them directly. Tell us about the Wounded Warriors Project for which you're running.
The Wounded Warrior Project is an organization that helps to serve our wounded military veterans to get back on their feet, per se, get them vocationally rehabbed, help with training, help provide them with material and comfort items, you know, provide support for their families. You have a lot of the wounded veterans that come back that are either missing limbs or, you know, dealing with mental PTSD issues, things like that, that the project really goes out of their way to serve those veterans and provide assistance to them and their families in a great way.
And you were in the United States Marine Corps?
Yes, sir. Today's actually our 236th birthday.
So. Wow. Well, happy birthday, United
Thank
States
you.
Marine
Semper
Corps. And tell us about the decision that you made to join the military, and specifically the Marines. America's 911 fighting force, I might add.
Yeah, actually, I'm from Braxton County here in West Virginia originally, and had really no family that had been in the military except an uncle that was in the Army, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. 17 years old, and had no real sense of direction that I wanted to follow, and got approached by a Marine one day, a recruiter that had come in, and had the opportunity to talk to him, and thought, hey, I get to travel the world and see a lot of the world that I otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to do so. And it was probably the 6 greatest years of my life I spent when I was in there. Traveled to Japan, actually met my wife. She was a Marine as well, and we were stationed over there together, and so here we are.
So you did pretty well at Paris Island when it came to the obstacle courses and running?
It was, it was challenging, but I rather enjoyed it. So
you've always been a runner?
Not a distance runner like I am now. I really picked the distance running up back in 2009. Actually, I ran my first marathon and started training for that, ran that, and got challenged by a friend of mine to run an ultramarathon, which I had never heard of before then, and signed up for a race down in Charleston, which was called the Frozen Sasquatch. It was a 50K, and it was through the Kanawha State Forest on January 2nd. So we had about 6 inches of snow and 15-degree weather to go through the state forest down there, and I was hooked at that point.
50K, so that's an ultra marathon. How many kilometers is a regular marathon?
Well, 50K is 31 miles, so regular marathon is 26.2. And since that one, I've just kind of progressed from there. I've ran races at Canaan Valley, 40 milers, did a race. One of my favorites is called the Cheat Mountain Moonshine Madness Race, and that's actually down in Elkins through Beverly, West Virginia. We started at 9 p.m., which is why they call it the Moonshine Madness, and that was a 50 miler through about 6,300 feet in elevation change.
So only since 2009 you've been running long distances?
Yep.
And somewhere along the line, you said, I'm going to run across the country.
Yes, sir.
Forrest Gump.
Last summer, my wife and I had an opportunity to sit down and have one of those life talks, I guess, you know, and here we were. I'd started running, started doing these distance runs, and a lot of the groups that I run with, they do a lot of really good things, raising money for different organizations. And I thought, you know, what can I do to give back? I've been very fortunate to do this injury-free. We were both in the military, and I've had some friends that have been directly impacted by the Wounded Warrior Project. And I thought, you know, what better, you know, thing to do? So out on one of my long runs, I came up with the idea. I mean, I've heard of people that have done this before, but some have walked it, some have ran it. You know, I'm taking a little different path in that my trek is coming from the Pacific Northwest, going to from Oregon to Maryland. So I've got a few more miles, about 3,500 miles total is what I'll end up doing, and I'm doing it in 100 days. So it'll be 35 miles a day is what I'll end up averaging.
When do you start your journey?
I start March 26th of 2012, and 100 days later finish in Baltimore on July 4th.
About 35 miles a day, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to run an ultra marathon plus a couple of miles every day?
Yep. That's the idea, and that's what I've been training for really for the past year. I ran two races this summer in about 6 weeks' time. Laurel Highlands, I don't know if you're familiar with the trail up there, but ran that ultra marathon, which was a 77-miler from Ohio Pile to Johnstown. And then in July, I ran the Burning River 100-mile race out in Cuyahoga Falls in Ohio. That was 24 hours and 53 minutes of forward motion. So had to, we do aid stations that are set up, and they're, depending on the race and the terrain, they can be anywhere from 5 to 10 miles apart. That one was well-stocked. The aid station workers, you know, were great. 8 minutes was my longest stop at one of those aid stations. And so what I've been doing is going through those runs, and I've been doing a mock run for the past 2 months, almost 3 months now, basically taking myself through what I'm going to experience when I do the run next year.
So, Jamie, some may say, why are we talking about this today? You're not leaving till March, but it is because of Veterans Day, of course.
Correct.
And, of course, you're looking for sponsors, I understand.
Absolutely, yeah. The more people we can get on board to help support this run, the better. You know, all we've actually partnered with the Milan Park Foundation, and they're handling all of the finances and funding for the organization. So all donations that are made to Run for WWP on our website or via mail are tax-deductible, 100% of it. And their board of directors and auditors are going to oversee everything so people can feel comfortable about where the money's going. Sponsorships are really what's going to get us across the country to make this happen, and we've got, you know, all the information on our website to check that out and find out how you can be a sponsor and support us.
If we just want to write a check right now, we're listening to the radio, and you know what, I give this guy 10 bucks to run across the country, or 50 bucks for every state in the country, you know, that would be pretty cool. Is there an address, or should they send it to Beaupark, or who should we write the check out to?
On our website, which is at www.runforwwp.com. It's RUNFORWWP.com. There's a support link on the page that has information on how you can donate online via PayPal. You can send it to a mailing address where the check's made out to, and then there's a sponsorship proposal packet there where sponsors, potential sponsors, can download and take a look at it and contact us about being a sponsor for the run.
I know I shouldn't ask this question because here we are in 2011, but what if we don't have internet?
You can get to the address. It's P.O. Box 674. Run for WWP is the mailing address. P.O. Box 674, Del Slo, West Virginia, 26531, I think it is.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. So that's probably important to people who are going to write a check and just want to put it in the mail today.
Yep, absolutely.
And get it to you. One last question for you. You're going to be running 35 miles a day. Where are you going to be sleeping?
Well, that's one of the other things that we're working on right now, the logistics of everything. We have the path pretty much mapped out. Of course, that's all going to depend on DOH and how they've got the roads laid out for us and, you know, the paths that we take. We're looking at bike trails and things like that. But
you need shoulders.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. You know. We're going to have we're going after sponsors, you know, hotel accommodations, working to hopefully get an RV, you know, a sponsor, you know, to help support us for that. Because my wife and kids are actually going to join me on the journey. The kids are going to be out of school. We're working with the local school system. Frank Devano has spoken to him and the principals of their schools. And we're actually working with the educators to track this. And we'd love to get, you know, teachers involved and classes involved to be able to track this. We'll have live tracking on our website where people will be able to follow us day to day. There'll be, you know, we'll have information on there about how kids can follow it via the science and the math, you know, the geography, all that. Just a lot of interaction we want to have with the kids, you know, when they're a part of it.
Well, we'll have you on again maybe once or twice before you take off in March.
Absolutely, and you know, during the journey as well, you know, anytime I can get on and let you guys know what we're doing, that'd be great.
All right, thanks. Jamie Summerlin, and again, he's running across the country starting in March from Oregon to Maryland. Did you say Oregon to Maryland?
Correct.
All right, and again, that's for the Wounded Warriors Project. Coming up next, we talk roads, the Department of Highways here on WAJR.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline Shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot. just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF Shingles. Quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Robert Wade talks about an accident that kept him from work and everyday activities.
I fell on snow and ice and cracked the elbow, and I had a chip about the size of a thumbnail cutting off the ulnar nerve to my fingers, and it was going numb. Can't open a bottle of pop or a bottle of water. Couldn't cut a steak up. Had to have my wife do that. Just little things that you normally are able to do was just impossible to do. You know, you're supposed to be the strong one of the family.
Robert went to Chris Wiley, a certified hand therapist at HealthWorks Rehab, for help during his recovery.
I came in and looked at the facilities over and really was impressed with all the equipment that they've got. Chris is very nice and very professional. I've had a lot of other therapists, and I think they rank right up there with the top. They did a fabulous job. I'd recommend it very highly.
When your body hurts, go to HealthWorks.
I felt comfortable doing it and being here, and I think that's why I chose HealthWorks.
When your body hurts, go to HealthWorks.
Hey, it's me, Roy, for Dan Ryan Builders. I know it may be a bit early for stringing these Christmas lights, but after hearing about Dan Ryan's incredible offer, it just seems like Christmas is coming early this year. Throughout November, Dan Ryan Builders will contribute up to 6 full months of your home interest payment with the purchase of any new Dan Ryan built home. I don't know about you, but with that kind of savings, I can make it a Christmas to remember for Rosie and the kids. Dan Ryan has just opened their new development, Brookdale Estates, single-family homes in the Brookhaven area, starting at under $200,000. Plus, this month only, Dan Ryan will contribute up to 6 full months of your interest payment just in time for Christmas. Come see the region's premier home builder at any of our 7 Morgantown area developments. Plus, find out more about our in-house financing and Dan Ryan's 10-year quality home builder's warranty. Well, I better get back to these lights. No, I'm no Clark Griswold, but I'm the envy of Harvest Ridge.
Better value, better living, Dan Ryan Builders.
Get details and directions online at danryanbuilders.com.
Chapstick asks, do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry?
Hi, this is Angie. And no, cherry always tastes better. I mean, have you ever heard of green apples jubilee? There are certainly no maraschino green apples. And if George Washington cut down the green apple tree, they just say, hey, nice job, George. And then they go back to eating cherries and kissing each other.
Do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry? Why not kiss with both and decide for yourself? Have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick.
Morgantown AM, winner of the 2011 West Virginia Best Talk Show Award.
Well, golly, I just can't believe it.
If you missed any part of today's show, you'll find it later today as a podcast on WAJR.com. Now, back to Kay and Jim on the Voice of Morgantown, WAJR.
Always a road to somewhere, Jim.
No,
always.
I'm not sure about quarter H. Is it going anywhere?
Well, we'll find all that out because we do have DOH members with us right now. Greg Phillips, the leader of the pack. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the show. Also, Jeff Pfeiffer. He's the maintenance engineer. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning.
And Brian Radabaugh, the man that listens. Design engineering. Good morning.
Good morning.
And the reason I say that is that I met with Brian along with some people, my neighbors, a while back about some concerns we had. And that's okay because I'm sure, Brian, if we call and we try to talk about concerns, you probably learn something from that and what can be done. And hopefully you listen and take it back to the people that can make it happen.
Sure. It's always good to have public input from areas we can't be everywhere. We work out of our Bridgeport office and, you know, having input from people that drive these roads every day, that go through these intersections and curves and all the different scenarios they run into in their daily travels, having that input back helps us make better decisions.
You know, and I don't know what we can say about the speed that some cars go and the speed limit through there, 50 miles, I think it is, 50 miles an hour. Out on the Grafton Road, another person's concerned about the speed limit.
It's 55. And that it is now, and she wants it lowered.
That's out on the Grafton Road.
Right.
I was talking about 705, and through that area is 50 miles an hour. And can anyone have impact on that, Greg, when we're concerned about how fast cars are going through an area?
Well, there is criteria set up on exactly how the speed limit's set up, and it's monitored through the state police, and of course the local sheriff's department and city police went in the city limits. But there, as far as the speed aspect of it, we try to get a reading, and we monitor the vehicles. Also, as far as the roads, you know, the winding roads and things of that nature, we take in schools, of course, and a lot of different criteria for that. But in a situation where to lower speed, it's not just that we can wave our magic wand and get that done. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of aspects to that. There's also concerns with the federal government on how our speed's set on our interstates and some other things that we have to take into consideration.
We want to talk about some area road issues and invite your phone calls at 304-296-0041. We have a long line of things, a long list of things to talk about today.
And some of these come from people that call in on the show, and some comes from people we work with.
One of the issues that I see is over the past 4 months or so, I-68 eastbound, at about the 9-mile marker, there seems to be a lot of water crossing the road right there. I'm not exactly sure where it's coming from, but even more than other parts of the roadway, I think it's causing a lot of hydroplane accidents at that location. Is there anybody who has been made aware of that or who looks into situations like that because the water is not draining correctly right there?
Jeff, do you want to tackle that, or Brian?
Is that right there where you drop down to the Cheat Lake Bridge on the left-hand side?
Yeah,
on
exactly.
Eastbound?
Yeah.
We have been made aware of that. We've had that area surveyed and are currently evaluating what we need to do to that area to help alleviate that water crossing the road right there.
So it's been made aware. People are aware of it, and it's being evaluated.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there any kind of a warning sign there to tell people to slow down or if it's raining or anything like that?
Not at this time. We do think we have a way to correct that. The shoulder, over the years of being resurfaced, that shoulder has raised up some, and we're going to mill that asphalt off and try to hold that water up against the median wall and drop it down into the drop inlets.
All right. New traffic lights, exit 7, Interstate 68, westbound, 119 and 68. They were in a testing phase for a while there. The black bags were off. They were being tested. Then the black bags went back on the traffic lights. What happened there?
Well, the power that they were drawing off of to power those signals was the same power source for the overhead lighting. And the conduit that those wires ran through went underneath the bridge, the interstate bridge there. And when they pulled the wire through, something happened that was damaged, and it shorted out both circuits. So I talked to the contract or construction engineer earlier this week, and he said that they had to get some estimates and approval on doing some other wiring and conduit work up there, which has been approved. As soon as the contractor gets some materials, they'll run a separate section of conduit for the signal lights and then pull wire for both of them, I'm assuming, to get the overhead lights and the traffic signals up and running.
They have to call the electrician back.
Yes.
Do we have any idea the time?
Just as soon as they can get the materials, they're coming back to work.
So it should be in pretty good working order within weeks, you think? It's hard to say.
It's hard to say because it's a pretty good quantity of materials they've got to acquire for the job, so it's just as soon as they can locate it and get it.
Greg, did you have
something? It's a lot to do with the same situation when you get in remodeling a home. Sometimes you plan things, and then all of a sudden something arrives in your plans that changes things completely.
The inspector arrives and takes a look around and says, well, you did that wrong.
Well, it's not only that, but there are situations where you think, well, that wall's real good, and you actually get into the wall and find out the drywall is not good at all, and you have to replace it. So it's the same thing
upgrade.
We run in.
You have to upgrade.
Exactly.
Mold. Got mold in your wall.
Upgrade. Yeah. That's what it is, it sounds like, anyway.
Yep. And then a lot, of course, in that particular area, the age of the projects and things like that. Anytime you're in an upgrade situation, you know, there's things that you can't find until you really dig into it.
I'm sorry, Kay. Additional questions. I feel like I need to get them all out at once. These motion detectors on top of the intersection traffic lights throughout the town, those what those are, right? I mean, they look like cameras, but they're motion detectors, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And they're actually, a lot of people I've had calls about, well, they don't want to be seen in their vehicle, or they're not taking pictures of them, and that's not the situation at all. They're actually not a camera. They're a censoring device to see how much traffic's there, how much the backup of traffic is there, so the light can adjust that by the computer system.
Could they be retrofitted to be a camera in the future?
I don't believe those would be, but if they decide to go with that, of course, that's a legislation thing, and, you know, that'd have to be dealt with in Charleston. But if they do decide to put the speed cameras up, I think what you're alluding to.
Well, no, I was looking more for monitoring on the internet traffic for radio stations and television stations and the division, you know, like PennDOT cameras have all over
the
place.
Well, we actually have that system in Charleston. We actually have a system where we can monitor a lot of our intersections and stuff, not visually look into vehicles, but to see vehicles, how they stack up and pile up in different situations, like in Christmas time, of course. And those lights can be altered and adjusted from Charleston in order to make the traffic flow a little bit better.
But those are separate cameras than the motion detectors?
Yes, those will probably be separate than what we have. We do have that particular type of camera on some of our tunnels and situations in heavy traveled intersections throughout the state, and then we do utilize those, and they are actually cameras.
The Old Iron Bridge Project, I'll call it that. I'm not sure that's the official name of it, but looks like trestles are being built at this time to support the structure going across the lake, and still the old bridge has never been reopened at any time for temporary traffic to go across. So who can give us an update on that? Ryan?
excuse me. I know a little bit about that. They're currently working with the power company that owns the rights to where the water levels to be set in the lake, trying to work something out with them to keep that water level up to a point where they can do some of that additional work on the new piers for the new structure. Those, to my understanding, was the middle of last week. Those talks were still ongoing, trying to do everything we can to continue moving forward with that project and get that new bridge constructed as early as possible next year, if some of those things will come to place that we can work that out to so those guys can continue working through the winter.
But, Brian, there was to be an inspection of the bridge to see if possibly it was safe to open up for some traffic. Is that inspection completed, and what came out of it?
I think the inspection, the actual physical inspection of the structure has been completed, but I'm not sure if the actual structural evaluation by the engineers within our district and central office has been completed.
If you allow traffic to go on that bridge, is that not going to slow down the project?
It could, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what about bicycle traffic, anything like that? Is anyone allowed to go across that bridge now? Because I'd heard that some people that live over there do have access to the bridge, that some people are going across that bridge.
Some of the bicyclists, I think, have worked with the contractor that's on site. The contractor currently is the one that's kind of responsible for why that's in that closure situation.
Do they talk to the media? Do you know? I mean, would they be willing to talk to the media to get us?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's something you might have to, you know, investigate and ask the contractor if they'd be willing to do that.
Because a lot of people do have questions.
Right, and your statement a few minutes ago, of course, any time you add traffic to a project like a bridge and what we're trying to do there, it does slow it down. And what Brian was alluded to there a minute ago, we are in the process of trying to make arrangements and to adapt and overcome so we can get the bridge done as fast as we possibly can, like we promised.
And I'm sure there's a safety aspect to it.
Yes, there's a situation too that what a lot of people don't understand. When you have a corporation, the amount of money that you pay for your premiums and stuff does rise when you have pedestrians on the bridge. There's just no question about it. It's something that you have to take. Everybody has to take that into consideration.
If I can read between the lines here, it sounds like some local residents have talked to the contractor, and he said, yeah, you could go ahead across the bridge, but they don't want that publicized, so everybody starts
going
across.
Well, we won't say it on this show then.
Yeah, way to go. Okay. All right, let's go to Richard. Hi, Richard.
Yes, I have a culvert crossing Halleck Road, and it's plugged up, and I have ponding on my side, and they went through and put the concrete curbs on, and they put a box in with a grate, and it's full of dirt.
Wow.
Who handles that?
Halleck Road.
Yeah, and I've called the Grafton Road two or three times in the last three or four months, and I've never seen anybody out there.
Would this be the local superintendent that he needs to contact?
Well, Jeff can answer that question. He's a maintenance engineer.
Well, when you're referring to the concrete curb and gutter and stuff that they put in, you're talking about the project from maybe about 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah, when they widened the road and did all the upgrades.
Okay, and now you've got a culvert that's plugged up and a drop inlet that has an issue?
Yes.
Okay, where roughly about where are you on the road?
673 Halleck Road.
Okay.
How far from, let's say, Grafton Road are you?
It's on Route 73 side, about a mile and a half.
Okay, about a mile and a half from the Route 73 side.
Smithtown. Like I say, I've called the Grafton Road place two or three times and no response. And I've got, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, dirt's going to start coming away from my driveway and everything.
Yeah, we understand, well, but Jeff has written it down. And, you know, you've called the right place. Well, first of all, you called the Grafton Road Garage, but second of all, you called the right place in Morgantown AM because Jeff's writing it down, and he's a district engineer, maintenance engineer, and he'll look into it. So thank you for your call. 304-296-0041, Jeff in Westover. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I just have a real quick question. This is actually jumping on your bandwagon a little bit, Jim. This past summer, they repaved Holland Avenue from the bridge almost up to about where the fire department is, and on the hill there it's one of the hot spots. And they have yet to put any striping on the pavement. Is there a reason they haven't striped that yet?
The contractor that does the striping, we put those type of projects. That was a purchase order project that we did with some excess funds we had there at the end of the fiscal year in June. Once those are completed, our resurfacing section in the district puts those projects on a list. When that striping contractor comes back into the district, he goes around and tries to knock out all those. There have been a few of them this year fall through the cracks, though, due to that contractor is overbooked and overscheduled and has we possibly ever looked at one.
You're on the list, Jeff.
Sounds like another shortage of money issue. I mean, it sounds like we need another painter.
This one they had the
money.
It sounds like we need another crew.
Well, it's bid out. This weather this summer from July, as everyone knows, every week from July through the end of September, there was two or three rain days every week.
A lot of rain.
You can't paint the roads when it's raining. It's been a lot. Weather's been a lot of the issue with a lot of our problems
And of course, this year we've done an astronomical amount of paving. Not only us, but the oil and gas companies are utilizing paving companies, the contractors. So when it takes away from us and the contractors, it's being utilized from them. You know, some of them have bit off more than they can chew. But in a situation like that, we'll try to get that taken care of as soon as we possibly can. You have to also think and put in the perspective of the mobility part of it too. I mean, it wouldn't be cost effective to go out and do one road that's at a distance.
We need a football field supervisor to put some lime stripes down there, at least temporarily, until it rains the next time.
Well, I'm sure that'll be getting taken care of within the next couple of weeks.
And the news department would really be upset with me if I don't get a soundbite on winter preparedness, because I remember last year, Greg, you talked about shortage of men. Has that been... Have you have solutions to that now?
Well, we're still in a situation, and I'll give you a good friend. Since we sent out 35 applications for interviews, or 37, I'm sorry, just a few weeks ago, we did not get any return back. So our registers are kind of empty. There's a lot of employment, of course, as you all know here in Morgantown. In this area, the unemployment rate is not as near as high as it is nationally, of course, and everything's kind of booming in our area with the oil and gas situation. They are taking a lot of people from us. Also, the companies that worked with the oil and gas, CDL drivers are like pro football players. They're at a situation where they can kind of pick what they want to make as far as that goes, and that's a situation that's not good for us.
Yeah, because of salary and what you can pay and what's dictated there.
The state certainly doesn't pay as much as the private sector and you know, anybody at all. I've done it myself. You go where the money is when you have a family and sure. support, and that's where we're at right now.
And so, Jeff, winter coming in, we know it's about to be here. Are we ready?
Yeah, we still have some equipment that we're working on, but our trucks, we've been keeping them busy all summer because we've been doing some tar and chip work and some state forces paving. We've just got some trucks that have been busy, and we haven't been able to get them in off the road to work on them. But we've already done our preseason dry run, which is when we call our equipment in and run through what we're going to do. And then just roughly we have about 23,500 tons of salt district-wide, 14,000 tons of sand and cinders. We have about roughly 50,000 gallons of salt brine in storage and about 19,000 tons of limestone abrasives. That's what we have stockpiled right now.
304-296-0041. We're going to get to your phone calls when we come back from this break. It's 940. This is Morgantown AM on WAJR.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and five-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Maximum savings, maximum incentives, maximum deals going on now at Anthony Chevrolet Cadillac's model year-end clearance. No payments for up to 120 days for qualified buyers. Savings up to $9,500 on new 2011 Silverado, or rates as low as 0% for 72 months on select models. Pre-owned certified vehicles as low as 2.9% for 60 months come with two-year 30,000-mile maintenance coverage. Stop in or log on to AnthonyChevrolet.com or visit Anthony Chevrolet Cadillac on Country Club Road in Fairmont. Chevy runs deep. On approved credit, tax, title, and license extra. See dealer for details. It's a great time to buy.
This Friday at 8:35, it's a Morgantown Dental Group edition of WHAR's Ask the Experts. I'm your host, Jim Stallings, and we'll be talking with Dr. Joshua Dolan and Dr. Ed Hawkins. This week's topic is dental concerns that are unique to women. Give us a call with your questions at 296-0041. WHAR's Ask the Experts with Dr. Joshua Dolan and Dr. Ed Hawkins, Friday at 8:35 on WAJR. Morgantown Dental Group, chosen by the Chamber of Commerce, is Morgantown's Small Business of the Year.
Your car is a delicate machine and represents a substantial investment. That's why you can't afford to ignore it. And with Morgantown Auto Repair Service, your vehicle is in the best hands possible. From computer analysis to brakes, air conditioning, tune-ups, even a major engine overhaul, Mars guarantees their work. So bring your delicate machine to the people who understand it best, the men from Mars, providing expert auto repair for over 25 years. Morgantown Auto Repair Service, phone 296-MARS.
I'll bet you have all sorts of old jewelry sitting around your house. How about all those broken things you don't wear anymore? Turn your gold and silver into cash. The Gold Experts are back this weekend with two locations. At the Hilton Garden in Clarksburg on Emily Drive and the Holiday Inn Express, Morgantown, exit 7 off I-68 at Glenmark Center. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10 to 5. Trust me, they pay the best prices for your items. This is your chance. And for those of you that are thinking about mailing things to cash for gold, are you crazy? How do you know if they'll pay you for everything you send in? The Gold Experts pay more than cash for gold and pawn shops. They even pay more than jewelry stores. Listen to what Vicky said at our Morgantown show.
I sent my jewelry to Cash for Gold, and they offered me $68. I had them send it all back, and I took it to the Gold Experts. They looked through everything right in front of me and paid me $245 for the same gold.
Gold is at a record high. Dig up that gold and silver and find out for yourself at the Hilton Garden in Clarksburg, Emily Drive, and at the Holiday Inn Express Morgantown, exit 7 off I-68 at Glenmark Center. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10 to 5.
Morgantown AM, winner of the 2011 West Virginia Best Talk Show Award. If you want to tell someone, tell Kay and Jim. We're talking on Morgantown AM. Dial 304-296-0041. Or email us at WAJR at WBRadio.com.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride. With sword and pistol by my side.
Someday we feel like that.
Hopefully they're not arming the DOH workers yet, but who knows, maybe someday.
They want some workers, so if you're interested in a job, check that out.
Greg Phillips, Brian Radabaugh, Jeff Pfeiffer from the Division of Highways in our studios here on WAJR. Back to your phone calls. Barry, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Barry?
Good. This is about an issue in Marion County. Talk about the lights, the red lights on the new Gateway Connector. The light at the end of the Gateway Connector that intersects with Merchant Street, where you can cross over on the Halliver Bridge. I know that, local news reports have said there were going to be some traffic studies done once everything got settled in and people got used to the traffic patterns, but that particular light, creates a backup like you wouldn't believe. And if you run it every day like I do, you can easily see the problem. If you're on Merchant Street, which runs perpendicular to the Gateway, if you're going to turn left onto the Gateway, you have a left turn lane and a left turn arrow. While you're doing that, the opposite traffic is completely stopped. Then that traffic stops, the other lane gets to go, and you can turn left on the Highover Bridge. The problem is we don't need those left turn lanes, because I bet you there's not two dozen people a day to turn left on the High Level Bridge. The only thing that services is a auto parts dealership right there, and if they may come out of there and turn left. And if you're coming the other direction to turn left onto the gateway, you're really quicker or as quick to go a different direction to get to 79. So while that's being done, all the traffic that's on the High Level Bridge and the gateway are backing up. And at peak times during the day, traffic backs up completely across the High Level Bridge, and it may take you 8-9 minutes to get across that bridge, which kind of defeats the purpose of that nice new four lane.
Who's going to tackle that?
There's a guy that does a traffic study every day.
I was at a meeting a couple months ago. There were federal highway officials there and representatives from our traffic engineering department, as well as some local people, and Fairmont, city of Fairmont was there as well. And they were going to review the situation at that light. I haven't heard anything back on it, but I do know that it is under review.
Thank you for your call, Barry.
Can I just squeeze in a question for one of our callers who asked that we do this? And it's about a road condition, Jeff, on 857 close to the Purple Cow. They said that the road was almost impassable. There's a bad,
drainage
problem or hole in the road. I don't know. But she said it's really gotten bad.
We can look into it.
So you haven't heard about that one?
No.
And they're going to look into that. So I asked the question.
All right, Bob, your turn on Morgantown AM. Go right ahead.
Hi, well, a couple points. One, the drop downs on Baker's Ridge Road in front of University High School have all been clogged up since last winter with cinders and stuff. And when it rains, those are pools of water which are going to become ice soon. So that's one problem. And the other, the new light there at Appleby, should it be cycling when there's no traffic coming out of the Applebee's or the interconnector station? The last two nights I've gone through there, and there's been no traffic, no cars at all, and it turns to red.
Okay, let's tackle that traffic light question first. Who wants that? That's a recently installed traffic light on Van Voorhis Road at the United Center and Applebee's. And so is the timing set up right on that? And what he's talking about, is it always going to be cycling?
All those traffic lights out through there are eventually going to be tied together. There's a group out of Charleston that's like a contractor to the highway department that's setting those up. Right now they're just getting everything going, but as far as the cycling of traffic coming out, those signals are set up, the ones with the cameras, that if they don't sense anything for so long, they automatically kick over. It's almost a fail-safe, so if something would happen to the camera, the lens would be blocked, that people wouldn't be sitting there forever. It allows it to cycle through, but it shouldn't cycle through regularly if nobody's there. It should only cycle when there are cars, or if, like I said, it meets that time criteria where it runs out so long, then it'll let that leg open up to let traffic out.
Baker's Ridge Road, clogged up culverts and ditches and those types of things.
I'll look into it.
All right.
He made a note of it, Bob. Thank you very much for your call.
Hi, Carolyn. You're on with the Department of Highways reps. Go right ahead.
Hello. I've called the local DM Department of Highways several times this summer, and I've called about the brush along Summer School Road and Brake Iron, and also the road that needs patched, and they told me they were patching, trying to get it done before the blacktop plant closes down. But there's a bad place right above Eastgate that's right there on the turn, and people go on the other side of the road, which is very dangerous. Plus, Brake Iron is very bad. And there's a culvert down right up the second entrance to Eastgate that's been clogged up for the last year and a half, and I've called several times about that. And it's clear full of mud, and if it's not cleaned out, I think we're going to have a lot of ice there on that turn this winter, there at Seifert's Turn.
Thanks, right. Carolyn. Sounds like you have a lot of culvert problems.
Yeah, do you have a crew just for culverts?
Well, we do in a lot of our counties, and we work on it when we're not paving. Right now we're finishing up our paving projects, and we'll get to those culverts. But we did, of course, as all of you know, and especially us here at the table, we've had an astronomical amount of rain this spring and summer, and it causes, we can go ditch all of our county, like Mon County, we can get it all completed in 2 days of torrential rain, puts us right back to where we were. It's
gully gushers, yes. Clogging up the culverts.
So we'll get to those. We appreciate people calling in. We also will write them down, make sure we get them taken care of as soon as possible.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Let's go to Baker's Ridge Bill. Hi, Baker's Ridge Bill. How are you today?
I'm fine. Two questions. The first, a simple one for Brian Radabaugh. I'm a member of the MPO, and on the mailing list of emails from Bill Austin, Brian Radebaugh is listed as getting copies. So does he get copies of all the minutes and the action that the MPO has taken on a regular basis? And the second question has to do with a sign for trucks. At Easton School, when you go up to turn into West Run Road, I think the DOH must have put it up, but it's a small yellow line sign that says, no large trucks on this road. Well, first of all, you can't see it from 119. And second of all, if they can put that sign up on that road, can they put it up on any road, like the other end of West Run?
Brian, are you getting your emails?
The emails I receive or coordination I receive from the MPO, I'm a member of the Technical Advisory Committee of the MPO. The majority of the information I receive from them, Mr. Rice, is from that committee and those meetings relevant to that committee. I don't believe I would have to look or go back and take a little harder look at it to see if I receive everything from all the different. I know there's several meetings and subcommittees of the MPO, but I don't believe I receive all those.
Okay, you understand what he's saying about the large truck sign. I would imagine you have to be off of 119 onto West Run before you see the sign. Yeah, you're saying that's one point, and the other point is, can you put a sign like that in other areas, like the other end of West Run towards Van Vorst, where the road is being torn up constantly, I don't know, about by large trucks or it's by heavy traffic itself?
I'm not aware of whether we place that sign along West Run or not. We do have certain signing that in certain circumstances we can temporarily post a road. It takes a commissioner's order to reduce the weight limit on most roads, such as West Run and most of our local roads. That current weight limit is 65,000 pounds. And then in some safety type situations, we also have some discretion as far as limiting through trucks on roads. But that does take enforcement. We're not an enforcement agency and such.
RJ, your turn on Morgantown AM. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. Kay just asked him about the 857 Old Cheap Road, the lady called about earlier this week. I think Mr. Phillips is aware of that place. It's just past the Avery Church. On the right-hand side, there's water running out of the hillside driveway on a house with a condemned sign on it. They came out and patched, and it's coming, the water's running, and it's coming out already.
Yeah, RJ, that's what she said. It was a poor patching job. So, Greg, seems like there's a housing, or there's a house there that's been condemned and some problems in that area.
I believe it to be a drainage problem, and we'll look into it and make sure that we get it taken care of. A lot of times people dump the water not professionally into our ditch line and cause a lot of problems. And then we do have seeping in some of our paved areas where when you have a saturation like we had this year, that the water actually comes up within our blacktop. And there's not, you know, a lot to do other than put a wick in it or actually take it out and put drainage pipes through that area so we can get the water off the road. But we'll look into it.
Thanks for your call. We'll be back in just a moment with more calls as we talk roads today on WHAR.
There's tailgating. And then there's Mountaineer tailgating. You and five of your friends can win six tickets and the ultimate Mountaineer tailgating and game day experience. You want it? You got it. The WAJR GNS Wireless Game Day Experience. We'll provide you the tickets, the tailgate tent, lawn chairs, coolers, and beverages, and the best tailgate food provided by Archie. Your tailgate will be set up and take place for you in the blue lot, right in the shadows of Milan Pushkar Stadium.
Yeah.
To win, stop by any one of 10 GNS Wireless locations and get that week's winning keyword and text it to 35651. Then, wait to get the call that you have won.
Congratulations!
The winner will be announced 2 days before all home games. This is Real Tailgating from GNS Wireless, your authorized agent of U.S. Cellular and the voice of Morgantown, WAJR.
thanks, gratitude, appreciation. There are several words to say you're thankful, but American Homes is saying thank you with a sale. It's our Thanks for 35 sale. For 35 years, American Homes has turned customers into happy homeowners. And American Homes is saying thank you 1,000 times with homes marked down thousands of dollars to sell by the end of the year. It's American Homes Thanks for 35 sale. Our gratitude is your gain.
And on us, we're American Homes, the best in the business.
Everyday folks are showing extraordinary generosity by leaving legacy gifts to their favorite nonprofit organization in their wills and estate plans. These gifts show that kindness is evident in people from all walks of life, with different income levels, professions, and passions. West Virginia Wills Week is held in October. For more information about leaving a legacy in your will, contact Donna Tennant at Sundale, 599-0497. That's Sundale, in our care, yet close to home.
You need extra cash, so get rolling with one of the most recognized names in the package delivery business. FedEx Ground and Home Delivery expects to hire 20,000 holiday workers, and Kelly Services is supplying them with the drivers. To qualify, you need to be at least 21 years old with a minimum of 6 months' experience driving a like-size commercial vehicle within the last 3 years. 1 year of commercial driving experience is strongly preferred. A motor vehicle records check as well as a background check is required. If you meet these qualifications, apply in person Monday through Friday between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at 791 Meadowbrook Road in Bridgeport. Again, that's Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at 791 Meadowbrook Road in Bridgeport. Kelly Services is an equal opportunity employer. Again, that's Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at 791 Meadowbrook Road in Bridgeport.
Morgantown AM, winner of the 2011 West Virginia Best Talk Show Award.
That's a good bingo. Congratulations.
Leave Kay and Jim a comment on Facebook. Search WAJR AM and click like. This is the talk of the town. Morgantown AM on WAJR.
On the road again.
He's got to do it.
Just can't wait to get
we thought we would try to push Hoppy Kirchhoff aside and do 2 more hours with you guys, but he just won't let us do it. So I do want to ask you about the Green Bag Road Bridge. A lot of backup traffic in that area. The work continues. What's the word about completion, Brian?
The last we heard on that project, it's continuing to move forward.
I know that.
But the best of my understanding, I've been out of the office for a few days, and I apologize that I'm not up to date on it, but the last I understood last week was that that project's still scheduled to complete this fall.
So it is this fall.
Yeah.
People are irate because the green's not green and long enough.
It is difficult to get through that area, but you know, so if you can make another route, maybe try that. But you're saying within weeks, then.
Yeah, hope to have it open back to two-lane traffic before wintertime here.
Awesome.
And then maybe stripes next summer.
Yeah.
That'll make a lot of people
Let's
very
go
happy.
To Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Jim. I got a question for the gentleman there. I have the people in the South Hills community. We went and did a tar and chip road, and it's not holding up very good. And I'd like to have them come out and take a look. When they were installing the road, I had one of the surfacers tell me that when they were installing the road, the sub road that was underneath of it wasn't really as up to par as they usually do as the ones over in Taylor County, Grafton. And I'd like for them to come out and look. We're having some issues. The road's starting to fall apart.
Okay, we only got about a minute left, so specifically, where's this road?
It's Southern Galloway Lane. It's in the South Hills community.
All right, Greg knows where that is.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it and make sure that we get it taken care of for you as soon as possible. Some roads aren't as high. We might have actually put the tar and chip on it to preserve it until we can come back and you know, do a lot better to it for a longer period of time to extend the life.
All right. Thank you for your phone call. And see, about 30 seconds left. I don't think we can get justification on any other calls on the air at this time. We just wouldn't have enough time for your answer, I do not believe. So if somebody has a complaint, couldn't get on the air today, should they call the local garage first, the local DOH on Grafton Road?
Yes, each county should be called first, county headquarters. The numbers are in the books, and they will certainly let you know if you're on the list. And you probably are on the list. It's just a matter of getting to you. There are times when we do have things that arise we're not aware of, maybe a ruptured line or someone crushes a culvert, but that's the way it works.
All right. Thanks to Greg Phillips, Brian Radabaugh, and Jeff Pfeiffer from the Department of Highways for being on our program today. Talk Lines coming up after the news. For Kay Murray, I'm Jim Stallings on the Voice of Morgantown, WAJR.
The largest selection of new Subaru, Nissan, and pre-owned vehicles.